are, and how curious you are to see what will happen tomorrow. We were in a little dilemma, to be quite honest. The dilemma was, we wanted to have as many of you present, and we were inviting all of you, and we were praying secretly that as little as possible would come. Why? Not because we do not like your presence, no, but you can see space is rather limited here. In a few months, we do hope to inaugurate the big temple room, which you can and should see when you move downstairs. It's on the ground, ground floor. And there we will have enough space and much more space than is required. But here we will all have to be able to be like in a, to feel the mood of the Indian temple, overcrowded with the knee of your neighbor in your stomach and in best spirits. So I'm also very happy, ich bin sehr glücklich, dass wir heute die Gegenwart haben von der Mutter von dem ehemaligen Bhakti Nico. Er ist für die Mutter natürlich noch Nico, aber wir nennen ihn Nitai Gunamani. Das ist Frau Nitai Gunamani. Und der Bruder ist auch eingetroffen. Der Große oder der Kleine eigentlich?
Der Große.
Der Große sogar. Super. Gut. So I will be lecturing in English because most of you do not speak German. Let me just see if our guests fertig sind. Sie englische Sprache ist okay bei dir, glaube ich, so und so von den ganzen Filmen und Songs. Synchronübersetzung, ja. Ich muss mal sehen, ob wir vielleicht eine so und so machen müssen. Wer von euch spricht kein ausreichendes Englisch, um eine philosophische Vorlesung der zu folgen? Eins, zwei. Wer spricht alle Englisch? Silvia, sprichst du eigentlich Englisch? Was? Oh ja, schnell. Ja, wer wird sich hingeben? Gurupal, willst du nicht versuchen? Wir machen in der Ecke einfach eine kleine Synchronübersetzung für alle von euch, die eine solche brauchen. This will be a short lecture, I hope, because we had so many long lectures and I think we all think, when will we going to, when are we going to get a good doses of rest? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 I forgot to sing Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha
Ashubha.
From this miserable material existence. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. Purport. As a devotee hears more and more about the Supreme Lord, he becomes enlightened. This hearing process is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatamrita. The messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are full of potencies, and these potencies can be realized if topics regarding the Supreme Godhead are discussed amongst devotees. This cannot be achieved by the association of mental speculators or academic scholars, for it is realized knowledge. The devotees are constantly engaged in the Supreme Lord's service. The Lord understands the mentality and sincerity of a particular living entity who is engaged in Krishna consciousness and gives him the intelligence to understand the science of Krishna in the association of devotees. Discussion of Krishna is very potent, and if a fortunate person has such association and tries to assimilate the knowledge, then he will surely make advancement towards spiritual realization. Lord Krishna, in order to encourage Arjuna to higher and higher elevation in his potent service, describes in this 9th chapter matters more confidential than any he has already disclosed. The very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the first chapter, is more or less an introduction to the rest of the book. I will jump over because it's rather lengthy. Now this first verse has specific significance. The words idam jnanam, this knowledge, refer to pure devotional service, which consists of 9 different activities: hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, obeying, maintaining friendship, and surrendering everything. By the practice of these 9 elements of devotional service, one is elevated to spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. When one's heart is thus cleared of material contamination, one can understand the science of Krishna. Simply to understand that a living entity is not material is not sufficient. That may be the beginning of spiritual realization, but one should recognize the difference between activities of the body and the spiritual activities of one who understands that he is not the body. In the 7th chapter, we have already discussed the opulent potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his different energies, the inferior and superior natures, and all this material manifestation. Now in chapter 9, the glories of the Lord will be delineated.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simade Bhakti Viranta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Shatarine
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
In this verse, which we will hear in a minute again, Krishna speaks of a qualification for someone to understand and realize Krishna consciousness. He says, my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. I think every person who hears that it is possible to become free from all miseries will become at least a little bit interested to know how this is so. In the Bhagavad Gita, in this verse, the qualification is given. You need to apply the process of devotional service, but you also need to see that your heart is rightly tuned. More or less, that you are free from the tendency to criticize others out of an envious mentality. If you apply the process of devotional service and you refrain from criticizing others, and you refrain from being envious to others, then the process will work very fast. If you maintain a bad attitude towards others and you criticize them, then the process can't really work so fast. The example has been given of a person who eats very nourishing food, but he doesn't become strong and healthy. Why? Well, there is a simple reason. There is a bunt worm in his intestines. Now, what is a bunt worm in English? I didn't study biology very carefully and therefore do not know. It's a worm which is in the intestines, and whenever you eat something, then you don't get the benefit really, but the worm gets it. It becomes bigger. You can even become, sometimes people who have a bunt worm develop even a big belly because the thing is so big, but they have not nourished themselves. Now, what is a bunt worm in the sweet Yugoslavian language? So please say it. Patricia, that sounds terrible. Drakavica. Drakavica. Something like this. What is a bunt worm in English? Not required. Not necessary. It's an entity in your system which really causes a lot of disturbance avoids that the food which you take is properly digested and strengthens you. So in the same way, when you apply spiritual life, but you keep that mood of being envious towards others, especially Vaishnavas, or you have a bad feeling towards devotees, you cannot be nourished by the spiritual practices of Krishna consciousness. Now, I think many of us know that how difficult and even dangerous it can be if one has a bad attitude towards another person. There is a type of very subtle karmic law which many people do not know who are having these bad feelings towards others. When you have something like an enemy or some person whom you don't really know, whom you feel bad against, then by meditating about this person and thinking about this person and his bad qualities, you develop those qualities. Please let us make room for our Ramapriya Prabhu. Komm ruhig, dass man ein bisschen sieht sich also selten und so. This is Ramapriya Prabhu, our Sankirtan leader in Germany, and we want him to be properly situated. So, the moment you have a bad feeling towards someone, the qualities of that person are becoming your own qualities. Often in marriage life, this unfortunately happens, that the husband does not like his wife and all the things. She's so impossible, she's so intolerant, so absolutely in her own little world, that she does not really see my point of view. She is totally incompetent to have a broader vision of life. And while getting more and more into it, he adopts the qualities of the person he criticizes. In the Vedic Shastra, in the Bhagavatam, to be very precisely, we find the example of a certain bee who captures a worm and puts it into a little hole in the rocky mountains, or in the rocks, huh? And then begins to seal the hole with earth and its saliva. In this way, the worm cannot escape, and the bee is just waiting until Christmas season comes, and then it will eat the worm as a feast, you know. Or by Christmas, even the season to eat the worms for the bee. So it's described there that the worm all the things about the bee. When is this bee who captured me and who wants to now eat me going to break into my prison and kill me? It is described as a result of this constant thinking of the bee. The worm develops, this is the analogy, a mentality like the bee, and in its next life becomes a bee. This is how it is described in the Bhagavatam. This description is used to explain, if a person meditates about something or someone, then he or she adopts the qualities of what he or she is thinking about. This is how strong the mind is. This is exactly the reason why in devotional service we first start to hear about Krishna and then talk about Krishna, so that we can derive the third fruit of devotional service, that is smaranam, or to think of Krishna. Whatever you think of, that will become your existence. Then the material psychologists know about this. They say positive thinking. Think positively. You can develop cancer if you do not think positively, and if you are always a Düsterling, that is someone with dark thoughts in the mind. Krishna consciousness or spiritual life means really to understand this little secret, that you have to have a mental culture. Prabhupada uses this word. The mental culture of Krishna consciousness means to somehow or other train your mind so that you are able to not think of any material objects, but to think of Krishna. This is really the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, and this movement has been called Krishna consciousness. It means Krishna is in the consciousness. This is the very big element of Krishna consciousness, to learn to meditate about Krishna. many times we who live in a community of devotees do have problems to overcome, or we struggle with a critical tendency. It is found in our communities that because we all live in such a narrow space together, we get to know our person quite well after some time. And like everything or everyone in this world, there's some good character traits, or let us say traits which we can understand or like very much, and then there are others who are not so much in our worldview. They are foreign, in fact, to us. We cannot understand why this person reacting like this. I can simply not understand. I would react in a totally different way. People are different, and differences between people are as natural as life. It has to be so. The thing is how you deal with this. In Krishna consciousness, it can happen that because we live on such a narrow space, we can become annoyed and discouraged by the so-called bad qualities of another person. And then we begin to meditate about the person, and all of a sudden we have the same qualities. Hari Bol. Therefore, we should not come into the trap in our spiritual life that we will think negatively about a devotee of Krishna. This is very, very dangerous. You can really obstruct, as a behindrance, your advancement in spiritual life. I would like to read to you a very helpful letter of Srila Prabhupada, who dealt with this, I could say, conflict in community. There's a book, Community in Conflicts and Conflicts in Communities. And I feel it's something very nice and important. It helped many devotees who read it. Srila Prabhupada was very soon aware that in his Society for Krishna Consciousness, not all the devotees could get along well with each other. He often received letters, "As long as I have to go." And he became disturbed because of these letters and the inabilities of his young disciples to deal with differences. And I want to read to you now a typical letter. It is not so much that because there may be some faults in our God-brothers and God-sisters, or because there may be some mismanagement or lack of cooperation, that this is due to being impersonalists. No. It is the nature of the living condition to always have some fault. Even in the spiritual world, there's some fault and envy. Sometimes the gopis will quarrel over Krishna's favor. And once Krishna was so much attracted to Radharani that by mistake he tried to milk the bull instead of the cow. And sometimes when the gopis used to put on their dress and makeup for seeing Krishna, they would be too much hasty and smear kumkum and mascara on the wrong places, and their ornaments and dresses would appear as if small children had been trying to dress themselves. And they were not very expert like that. There are so many examples. But it is not the same as material fault or material envy. It is transcendental because it is all based on Krishna. Sometimes when one gopi would serve Krishna very nicely, the others would say, "Oh, she has done so nicely." Now let me do better for pleasing Krishna. That is envy, but it is transcendental. Without malice, also malice muss ich übersetzen, sind bösartige Gefühle. So we shall not expect that anywhere there is any utopia. Utopia means a dreamland. Rather, that is impersonalism. People should not expect that even in the Krishna consciousness society there will be utopia. In other words, you will see in the movement for Krishna consciousness devotees who are entirely different from you. And you might see this difference, but if you develop malice or bösartige Gefühle, bad feelings, then this is then you have successfully created the material world in a spiritual movement. You should get a very sarcastic congratulation for doing something so unusual. There, Prabhupada says there will be differences. Don't think Krishna conscious society will be utopia. And he continues, because devotees are persons, therefore they will always be some lacking, irgendwas fehlt. But the difference is that they are lacking because they are giving up everything to serve Krishna. Money, jobs, reputation, wealth, big educations, everything. Their lackings have become transcendental because despite everything they may do, their topmost intention is to serve Krishna. Krishna says, one who is engaged in devotional service, despite the most abominable, that's the Apshara transcript, action, he is to be considered saintly because he is rightly situated, he's on the right path. The devotees of Krishna are the most exalted persons on this planet. Better than kings, all of them. So we should always remember that, and like the bumblebee, the nectar bee, always look for the nectar or the best qualities of a person. Not like the utopians, who are like the flies, who always go to the open source, like the Eiterwunden, or find the faults in a person, and because they cannot find any utopia, or because they cannot find anyone without faults, they want to become void, merged, nothing. They think that is utopia, in other words. And then Prabhupada ends, the devotee is always pessimistic about the material world, but he's very optimistic about the spiritual life. So in this way, you should consider that anyone engaged in Krishna service is always the best person. So, here in this verse, Sri Krishna says to Arjuna, because you are never envious, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization. In the Bhagavatam, in the beginning verses of the Bhagavatam, it is also stated that this knowledge can be understood by those who are nirmatsaranam satam. Nirmatsara means nir, not, and matsarya means envy in the heart. If we can rid our heart or make it free from an envious feeling or bad feeling towards others, then we can very easily progress in Krishna consciousness. Now, the question which we might ask here, okay, if this quality is so important to develop, this anasuyavi means they are free from envy, how can we do it? It will take some discipline of mind to not become disturbed by the so-called bad qualities in others. It will develop, it will, let me say, require that all of us develop a spiritual vision and keep it in times of need. In the Bhagavad Gita, we find the shloka that a pandita or a truly learned person will see everyone with an equal eye. The learned brahmana, the cow, the dog, and also the dog eater. That is, he will try to see that here is a soul and he is accompanied by the Lord who is in the heart of this person. The easiest way really to develop this spiritual vision, which is important to come to Krishna consciousness, is to preach the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. If you are spreading Krishna consciousness, if you are doing good for others, then you will learn very quickly to see people in a spiritual way. As preachers, we have often seen that people who have maybe acted impossibly before have all of a sudden, by the powerful process of Krishna consciousness, been transformed. I would really like to give you an example, because I see that an example might be required. I also see that we need to open the window again because of the fresh air. I once was accompanying Srila Harikesh Maharaj Vishnupad on a lecture tour through Germany, and we came to Berlin, and my service as usual was to give a running translation, simultaneous translation to his lecture in German, in English. You know, I was translating, and there were earphones for the people. So you can imagine the following scene. Sri Vishnupad was sitting here, like here, let us say here's the stage, and I was sitting there in the back where Govinda Mohini is sitting, and looking at him, and looking at the back of all the people. And I was translating, you know, simultaneously. And all of a sudden, I saw the following scene. I saw that one boy, a punk boy, with an amazingly fascinating hair and style, was lying down on the floor. That's nothing unusual. Would be almost as if Chaitanya Singha decides now to lie on the floor. That would be quite unusual. But he was lying down on the floor, and I thought, if you are in Berlin, be prepared for the habits of the Berliners, you know. No problem. But then all of a sudden, I saw one whitish red, coming underneath his jacket. And you know, and he was enthusiastically kissing it, indicating a strong, loving relationship. And then I saw a second white red just coming out from underneath. And I was not prepared for that. It was I have seen many things, but that was just so totally amazing that my trans... I could not continue. And then Sri Vishnupada, in his usual enthusiastic style, went on, and all of a sudden he noticed that the people were looking at him with blank eyes. And he noticed something, and he said, "Hey, what happened with the translation?" And I said, "An atom bomb fell on the head of the translator just now. He needs a pause." Because I just couldn't go on. It was just so surprising. Too surprising. And now, I must say, I somehow developed a bad feeling towards that person. I thought, how can he do this? I mean, this was a rat from the channel. It was not a rat from the Tierzoo, Klein Tierzoo, Haltung, or whatever it's called in English, from the little, you know, where you buy smart little rats, you know. It was a real rat, which, you know, carried AIDS and everything. I must say, I thought this person is totally unfit. He's too far away from spiritual life. Then we had the follow-up program to this program in the Friedrichstrasse temple, and I saw the punk sitting on the sofa, and I almost wanted to go to him and say, what do you want here? I mean, this seems to be the wrong place for you. But I greeted him politely, checking my bad feelings inside, and thought, maybe Krishna wants to teach you a lesson. And Krishna did. The next time I saw the punk, and he was really heavy. He looked like having just killed 5 people in the train station, and so on. The next time I saw him was in the farm Navayiyara Nishina Chetra. And now I became interested in him. I asked him, what is your name? Sid Vicious the Second. I thought of some communicator, right, you know. And then next time I came, so there was no communication possible. Next time, it was 2 weeks later, I came and he looked a little bit fetish. He was just... looked a little round, starting to get round in the face. I said, hello. And he said, hi, Mor. And at least the communication started. So... then, it was a month later, I saw him in the cow shed. He was covered all with the dung of the cows, working very hard. And I said, nice to see you. Yeah, nice to see you. You seem to experience some... pleasure in working with the color.
Yeah, I like to be dirty, man.
He was from Australia. I said, nice that you like to be dirty with cow dung. It's antiseptic. And then I went away. And to make a long story short, one day I saw him chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in the temple after half a year or so. And then he decided he wanted to preach and he went to South Africa, and I received a letter from him later, and he said, thank you very much. I may have been a little bad in my communication with you. I had such bad experiences, but now I'm preaching Krishna consciousness to the punks of Durban. It works nice. I thought I got a lesson from this, and the lesson is that really each one is an eternal soul, a part and parcel of Krishna. And when he or she applies the process of Krishna consciousness, all the coverings of illusion can go away. There are actually 5 levels of condition of consciousness, and 3 of these 5 levels are conditioned consciousness. The first is called because it gets otherwise too long. It's covered consciousness. In this state of consciousness, you cannot really see that a person is, that there is a soul. In Cologne, I spoke about this and gave the example of an animal which is very much covered, and he just, there is no communication possible with the animal. He just acts according to instincts. He's totally bound and unfree. The second state of consciousness is called shrunken consciousness, in Deutsch eingeschrumpftes Bewusstsein. It means also the consciousness is not very much developed. The third state of consciousness is called budding consciousness, knospendes Bewusstsein. And we soon will have the analogy given by nature. You know, spring also comes here, some of the trees will develop little buds or knospen, pupulia. It means when you see a bud, a knospen, you can know there is a potentiality that a flower comes. So when the soul finally, after a long evolutionary process, comes to the human form of life, then there is a chance that the consciousness becomes free and developed. But only if one takes to the spiritual cultivation of spiritual life. Many human beings, most of the human beings nowadays, will never develop the beautiful flower of consciousness. When you meet them on the street, they're really driven by instincts, by futile prejudices. All they know is my interest, my interest, my interest. And such people are not really using the full potentiality of their lives. They're in the budding state, knospendes. But if someone takes the Krishna consciousness, the consciousness can open up, it can become like a flower, and then like a fully blossomed flower. But medyutam, medyutva, I will say all my buts in Hungarian, but means there. Such an unusual language also. If you do not, having come to the association of devotees where you can develop Krishna consciousness, if you remain covered with enviousness or bad feelings towards especially Vaishnavas and other beings, you will remain in the budding state of consciousness. The flower will not come. And when your consciousness doesn't become free, if you do not become an anasuyave, free from enviousness, then you will not attract Krishna in your life. So my dear devotees, let us learn the difficult path of tolerance. We can do so by developing a spiritual vision, and we should learn to wish well for all the living entities. Prabhupada said there are two types of beings, and one is the kripana, the envious, the miserly person, and the other is the mahatma, the one who has a big vision, broad perspective. He is also called a paramahansa. The Paramahansa Vaishnavas, they are kind, they are merciful. Ah, this fallen soul is suffering for want of Krishna. Let us preach. That is the difference. The envious and the non-envious, that is Paramahansa. Titikshava Karunika, they are not only not envious, but they are merciful. They'll suffer so many troubles for their preaching work. Still, they do that. Titikshava. A preacher has to suffer so many inconveniences. Dear devotees, we have just had a wonderful time of Krishna consciousness together. Please take this little piece of advice home to you. Do good for others in your life. become a preacher, or at least become a current, a drat, a wire. Oops, I don't want to disturb the recording. A wire which conducts the mercy to others. If you learn this, then become a blossoming flower of the Gaudiya tree. But if this, if you cannot learn this, it will take longer time, because all the nice inspiration, everything, will be devoured by the bandworm, by the worm of envy's feelings. Hare Krishna. I thank you very much. I hope it was not too demanding to listen to this lecture. I wish you all the best in becoming Anasuyave. It's one of the qualities of a Vaishnava, one of the 26 qualities of the Vaishnavas. And let us develop this. Do you have a question?
You gave the example of thinking of somebody's bad qualities and also attaining them.
Like, yes.
How is it if I'm envious on somebody who has very good qualities and like this meditate in an envious way, how will his qualities affect me?
Yeah.
Like also regarding, for example, somebody envious on Krishna and like this meditating on Krishna.
Yeah. When I have envious feelings towards a devotee who is more advanced than me, wouldn't his qualities, his more advanced qualities, affect me in some ways? Because anything we think of will affect us and influence us. This is the question. Well, thinking of a devotee, that's good. There is a benefit. But having a bad feeling towards a devotee, that's bad. So what you could gain is taken away by the bad feeling, which is Vaishnav aparad. Hare Krishna. This is my answer. I want to I want to give short answers because we want to work on this book, and some of you will never sit down and write on this big answer. So we have also short answers for those who are not big writers. So that we want that everyone participates.
How can we to give help to somebody? Envious.
Towards us?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah? How can we give help to someone who is envious towards us? I cannot really answer this from Shastric evidence, but from my own experience. I personally think you have to not give any rise to the other person's envy. Sometimes when a person is envious towards you and you feel this, then you have to just, if you want to help him, or if there is a possibility to help him, you should think, why is he envious of me? Just find out. maybe he thinks I can do something better than him. Maybe that is the reason. So then I will not, I will never, you know, make a show out of what I have done. I will never even mention what I've done. In this Kali Yuga, it's very, very easy to invoke the envious feelings of another person. It's very, very easy. The reason is that we all in Kali Yuga are so totally insecure of ourselves. And when we see if someone does something better, we feel threatened by that person. We feel, here's something more which I do not have. Now, he might... Yamaraj asked Yudhishthira, what is envy? And Yudhishthira answered, it's sadness in the heart, that you feel, oh, I'm so sad I don't have what the other has. A very good definition. Kummer, kummer im Herzen. So because many people have such sad hearts, and when they see someone seems in their eyes to be better, doing something better, then they become envious. So then, just don't show. When this is the case, you just play it down. You go in a very humble way. Oh, how many books did you distribute today? Oh, not many. Just very few. I could have done much better. But you have to say it rightly. You don't have to. Not many. You're not like this. It's interesting how the sound of an answer can just totally transform the same sentence into make it something else, isn't it? It's really amazing. Most of the times devotees will not become envious on another devotee when that devotee is not trying to make a show of what he does. If a devotee is humble, if you are humble, Haripriya, no one can become envious on you. Humbleness is really the best protective shield against this type of problem. Everyone loves a humble person, isn't it? Immediately, I mean, isn't it Lokanath Maharaj? He's really when he comes in, bent over by 20 years of walking on the roads of India, preaching the holy name, and he's, you know, bent over by this heavy austerity, and he comes in so humble, and you immediately feel like, wow, and, you know, everyone makes plays and honors him and so on, and he just almost feels embarrassed and hides. The humble person, you never think, here's Lokanath Maharaj, he has walked through 108 countries, and you know, he has preached in millions of TV shows and newspaper articles. You don't think like this because he's so humble. Maybe when we feel that someone gets envious on us, it's the reaction which we need so that we become more humble. Maybe. Not always. Sometimes it could be. Sylvia?
Develops all good qualities, but sometimes we can see in reality that even after many years it don't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, yeah. Well, there's a reason for this. Sylvia's question is, we hear in Shastra that the devotee develops all good qualities, but sometimes we see that even after many years of practice, a devotee still has bad qualities. What is the reason? I once asked Jayapataka Maharaj this question and thought he gave a very, very good answer. See, he gave the answer that sometimes devotees in the process of devotional service are not really careful enough when anattas, unerwünschte Dinge und Gewohnheiten, begin to accumulate. And these anattas come in different small ways and they cover the devotee's Krishna consciousness in an almost unseen way. And he gave a wonderful example of the microphone he was speaking in. He said, like this microphone, I'm sure that there will be some dust on this microphone. And then he went with this. And then finally, he had found the dust. This is also what happens when you make Krishna conscious advancement. Simultaneously, some anattas come, proud and so on. And if you are not serious in your life, you will think after some time, oh, it can't be that again an anatta came. This must be a spiritual habit. That's my personality. That belongs to me. That's me. I mean, I should be a person, right? We are persons, isn't it? And so on. And this problem is really expressed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it said that simultaneously to the Bhakti Lata Beach, which grows, the plant of devotional service, weeds, Unkraut, is also growing. And if a devotee is not very serious and honest and does not throw out the weeds can really choke the creeper of devotional service. And sometimes devotees miss doing this. I mean, miss means they don't do this any longer. They think, it must be all right now. I mean, I'm 10 years in the movement. I'm 20 years in the movement. But as long as you are in the material world, the dust of material contamination will fly around you. It's just like a car. As long as a car drives, it will get dirty. Therefore, our scriptures say, when you want to make advancement, you have to make it directly and indirectly. Directly means you have to become more Krishna conscious. The indirectly means you have to also see where are the obstacles, where are the wrong things, and throw them out. They're not really you. They're just something which comes from the outside. Why should you embrace it and make it come in my heart, here, you know, you know, this has nothing to do with me. Goodbye. It's 5 minutes after 9, and we actually wanted to end at 8:30. Again, we are totally late, and we will end here, because tomorrow we have the last day. It will again be a very intensive day. Rest well, if you can. be ready. We will tomorrow try the impossible, and make it possible somehow or other, that is to fit all of you into Karuna Bhavan. It will be an interesting experiment. Maybe the brahmanas amongst you can pray to Krishna that he expands the space in a mystical way, like he often does in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much that you took the care to come here for tomorrow's festival. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hare Go, Srila Sachinanda Maharaj ki jai.